Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and today we have a very intriguing subject. You know, Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, and he said the last days would be treacherous times. They would be difficult times, and he began to disclose the different attitudes of man and the ways of man in those days. Jesus also said that the last days would be days that were full of lawlessness and disorder. Jesus also said that the last days would be as in the days of Noah. Today we have a special guest and a special friend with us, Prophet Randy Demain, who has been given a mandate from the Lord to warn the body concerning the Nephilim. You're going to hear a lot about the secrets of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and how believers are called to overcome. But you're also going to have disclosed to you some things that believers need to know in this hour. Randy, it's great to have you back with us. You've authored the book, The Nephilim Agenda, and of course, Nephilim Resurgence is the second, where the Lord actually told you just to remove all plugs and just share everything with the body that he has revealed to you about the Nephilim.
Yes.
So I know that a lot of the viewers that are watching this program have maybe not watched your other programs or have read your first book. But can you share with us, what are the Nephilim?
I'd be glad to. It's good to be with you, Patricia, and your family. In the beginning, we had written about the Nephilim agenda just as a mandate of the Lord. I felt like he had given me that message to bring to the body of Christ. Of course, in the prophetic word, there is the bright side and then there's the dark side. They both work together.
Right.
For whatever reason, it seemed as though the Lord is having me bring out that darker component, not that we want to focus on it, but that we need to know it and understand. So I wrote the Nephilim agenda out of that and began to bring an awareness to the body of Christ that there is indeed a working behind the scenes by the devil to bring forth an end-time army that will stand against the Lord in the last days.
And it's like a massive end-time deception, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, the one thing I know about deception is this, and I want our viewers to hear this, because the thing about deception is when you're deceived, you don't know that you're in it. You know, it's different from a blatant lie or, you know, you're choosing to do what's wrong. When you're deceived, you actually believe that you're in the right. And so in this day and hour, it's very important that we draw really close to the Word of God and make sure that the Spirit of truth prevails within our heart, because we can't make up our own rules. We can't twist the Word to make it read what we want it to read. Mm-hmm. We need the whole counsel of God.
Yes.
And so according to what I've already read in your book, The Nephilim Agenda, is that there is an agenda of the devil to bring forth extreme wickedness in these last days to try to literally take over the world. Would you say that that's a good recap?
I would say that's an excellent recap. We know from the very beginning when the devil came into the garden, he tempted Adam and Eve, and he said this word. He said, if you'll eat of this fruit, you will become like God. So that was the first deception.
Right.
And that is really the deception that's still working today and all the way through the Nephilim agenda and the things that are to come. As a result of that, God came and judged that transgression of Adam and Eve. And then we know in Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy of the Messiah came when the Lord said to Adam and Eve, and to Eve particularly, he said that I will put enmity between you and the evil one, between your seed and his seed, and you shall bruise, your seed shall bruise his head, but he shall bruise your heel. The first prophecy of the Messiah, but also the very beginning of what we call the seed war, or the serpent seed against the holy seed, the chosen seed of God.
And so right from Genesis, it's really clear that there's two kingdoms at war against each other and two seeds at war against each other.
Yes. And so we see that working out. We know from the Bible, which is so important today to be very clearly and well-founded in the Scripture, we see that there was an effort by the enemy then to disqualify all of humanity from being able or righteous to bring forth this promised seed, the Messiah, by defiling them. And so that defilement came about, as we see clearly from Scripture, particularly Genesis 6 and other areas, where there was these watcher angels, these fallen watchers that fell with the enemy, and they came to cohabit with the human women in the earth. And it says that the sons of daughter saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and so they took them as wives. And the sons of God, we know, are the B'nai Elohim. They are actually angelic. And so they produce these offspring of giants, which is called, in the Hebrew, it's the fallen or the Nephil or the Nephilim, which is the plural.
Right.
And so here we see this whole race of hybrids coming upon the earth and defiling all of mankind with the effort to disqualify all humanity so there could not be a Messiah that could come forth.
So we had demonic fallen spirits having sex with women,
yes,
who then brought forth the Nephilim.
Right.
So as the offspring of these demonic entities. And that was in the day of Noah.
Right.
And it was in that day that God was going to judge in the way that he did to rescue a pure generation. Because he said of Noah that he was pure in his generations, which right. meant that there was no defilement of those evil spirits. He was a pure human being.
The last pure human, or he and seven others, yes.
Right. Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, now, so Jesus said that the end times would be as in the days of Noah.
Yes.
So what you're suggesting, under prophetic authority mm-hmm. from the Lord, is that in these days, there's going to be a resurgence of the Nephilim.
Exactly right. And so if you take a look back at the days of Noah, and scripturally find out what was going on, it was a total transgression against the law of God. You shall only produce after your own kind, certain relationship rules between men and women and relatives. All those things were broken by these watchers that came to commingle with the women. And also that the men would give their daughters in exchange to these fallen ones because they possessed advanced knowledge that men on the earth didn't have at that time.
Knowledge. So it was like a trading in the spirit. We'll give you our daughters, you give us this demonic knowledge.
That's exactly right. And so the ones that traded, we find that they begin to become the mighty ones, the kings in the earth and so forth. And they had this tremendous technology about health, roots, witchcraft, they knew about weapons, they knew about many, many things that are still coming forward today, and that action still continues today. If you remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert,
right.
the devil came to him and he said, all these kingdoms I will give to you mm-hmm. if you will bow down and worship mm-hmm. me. Well, we know that Jesus, he didn't take up the devil's offer, but we find that many have taken up that
right.
offer, and so there's this empowerment of wealth and riches that men are receiving in exchange for still this breeding program
There's
that's going on
today.
There's
still that trade, that spiritual trading that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
If you give something to the devil, you'll get demonic power. If you give something to God, you'll get God's power.
Yes.
But there is a trade. There's a transaction
right.
that takes place with that.
Right.
Now, okay, so these Nephilim mm-hmm. are roaming the earth, and
yeah.
God deals with it
yeah.
through the flood.
Yes.
Now, one of the big questions that comes up is, if everything was destroyed in the flood, mm-hmm. why are there still Nephilim today?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Well, we do know that these Nephilim, they were a hybrid. They were partly celestial and partly terrestrial, another part human, part divine, if you will, in that sense. And so when the flood came and God brought the flood to destroy all of that, except for Noah, who was the pure human, who the Messiah would come forth, when God sent the flood, he actually, the Bible says that all those beings, animals and everything else that they cohabited with, all of them died. They ceased to exist,
mm-hmm.
except for those things which Noah brought on the ark.
Right.
And so when all of those bodies that were died, then the spirit
right.
that was in those hybrids, they were unredeemable. They couldn't go to heaven or hell at that time, so they were unredeemable. And so if you read in Enoch and other historical books, and even in Scripture, it begins to call those spirits, those unredeemable spirits, were the demons, the demonic spirits that are still roaming the earth today that are looking now for a body. So what happened is after the flood, now all these spirits, these demons, are now still trying to propagate that which they began as Nephilim, and are, you know, it says then in Numbers 13 that what happened before the flood begin to happen again. There was a second incursion of fallen watchers, another wave.
Now, where in the Bible does it say that?
Actually, it says in Numbers 13:13. Mm-hmm. It says that when Moses sent spies into the Promised Land, that's post-flood,
right.
There weren't supposed to be any giants, right?
Right.
So when he begins to send out the spies, they come into the Promised Land and they right. find that they are once again the giants, the Nephilim,
right.
In the land. So we know from that there was a second incursion because the right. others were destroyed in the flood.
And would you say that Goliath was a Nephilim?
Absolutely. Goliath and his brothers.
Right.
And if you begin to look in Scripture, there's over 20 varieties of Nephilim that are listed in the Scriptures in the Old Testament that were actually of giant stature, men of renown, warriors, the Gabor, they called them.
Right.
And they were ferocious. And we find also then that they then occupied, interestingly enough, the Promised Land and became mm-hmm. embodied in the Canaanite. The seven nations that were greater than Israel, they actually set up idol worship to these Nephilim, to the fallen watchers.
Right.
They began to also to propagate their species again until David began to come on the scene and others who actually then overcame them and mostly eliminated the giant form of them.
So all the way through, we've actually had the resurgence of the Nephilim. They've mm-hmm. been there until they're conquered because... Yeah. God sent Joshua in to conquer the giants,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Not to be moved by them, but to conquer them.
Right.
He sent David forth to conquer the giant
mm-hmm.
because these giants were trying to establish their own rule.
Yes.
A rule of wickedness. That's right. What Goliath wanted to establish, a demonic rule over the people of God. But it couldn't happen.
Right.
Because God had a deliverer.
Yes.
God had someone, a man of faith, who was willing to slay the
right.
Nephilim.
Right.
And so right after this break, Randy, we're going to talk more about what that looks like today, because the Lord's shown you prophetically some things that are happening right now in areas of media, of government, mm-hmm. Even within the church. And
yeah.
in fact, you have even ministered to mothers who have given birth to Nephilim spirits, and we'll find more about that later.
Okay.
Order the Nephilim Agenda today by Randy DeMaine. Genesis 6 speaks of the Nephilim before the flood. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man." Will the Nephilim return? Get informed. Order the Nephilim Agenda book at xpministries.com.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience Him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
Randy, this whole subject is pretty way out there, and I'm sure that some of our viewers are really wondering, but I'd like to get into some more specifics, prophetic specifics, regarding the Nephilim in this hour. Now, at the end of the program, don't worry, we're going to leave you on a real high note, because we serve the good news, but Jesus did give warnings in His Word concerning the end times, and so we're going to walk within those warnings unto the victory. But tell me, Randy, what areas do you see the Nephilim operating in today's hour? Are they in media, government, churches? Like, where are they, and how do they operate? What is their agenda?
Well, their agenda is very interesting. We actually find their identity and their place of operation there in Revelation 17 and 18, where it talks about mystery, Babylon the Great, and then we see the whore of Babylon, and we find out that not only is she riding the beast, but also that she's seated on seven mountains. And I believe those seven mountains are directly related to the seven mountain prophecies that
yes.
we have today. And so there is a effort by the Antichrist spirit to control every vital aspect of life and to such a manner that we as human beings can be brought under the control of every one of those mountains. In other words, we become serving to those mountains and instead of those mountains serving us. Yes.
And there's such a prophetic thrust right now through mm-hmm. wonderful spokesmen for the Lord, such as Lance Wallnau
yes.
and many others who are
yes.
who are calling the body to conquer those mountains.
Yes.
You know, and I love the way Lance shows it so graphically in his teaching. He'll mm-hmm. get the charts out and start drawing the mountains and showing,
right.
you know, the enemy on the top of the mountain, how we're to mm-hmm. go and dethrone and take that mountain of
yes.
influence.
Because
yes. we can't just be stuck as Christians inside
right.
the four walls of a meeting place. We have to be actively mm-hmm. advancing the kingdom of God.
Exactly. And so the strategy from Scripture is to confront the kings. And
right.
so we see with the seven mountains, there are seven kings, and actually there's 10 kings. And so the strategy is to determine who the kings are. And they are present-day, real, live kings. They are spiritually exploited and augmented to do what they do. But nonetheless, the strategy to take the mountains is to discover who is the king of the mountain, and then you take the king.
Right. So there's like the mountain of media, the mountain of government, of education, of home, and family.
Right.
That one's under a lot of attack right
it
now.
Is.
And,
right.
and, of course, the church mountain and arts and entertainment.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah.
So
wow.
there's a huge effort by the enemy to control those mountains, and we see probably to a larger degree than we want to admit that he is controlling them. And so we have become aware of the fact that he has tried to make us a slave to his agenda, and the spirit of this world has brought us into some level of subjection or servitude to those mountains. But there's this awakening now, which I love in the body of Christ, that is saying, you know what? Those are our mountains, and those are ours
right
to
on.
Have. And so we begin to mount up and begin to press into these mountains, discover who is the king.
Absolutely.
And so we're coming forward with the help of the Lord.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is arising through
right.
his people. I love that.
Yeah.
Randy, okay, the Nephilim, what do they look like? Like, do they look like human beings? And how can you tell the difference between a Nephilim and a normal human being?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is an amazing subject to talk about. And so I'll give some general categories. You'll have to get into the book to get all of it.
Right.
But there are a number of hybrids that are out. And so we find that these hybrids are coming forth in a number of different ways, which is quite alarming to me. I thought initially that it was simply the principality or an angelic form, a fallen one, that would intermingle with a human woman and produce a hybrid. Now, we know that they can have the capacity to be half and are half human, half angelic, if you will. But also, because of the mixing of all the DNAs, they can even take on half human, half animal, chimera-type form, which we see in the Egyptian hieroglyphics and so forth, where
wow.
you see all these crazy creatures, a man with a dog head or a bird head.
And so those were actually like Nephilim in that day?
They were actual Nephilim in that day.
And they were actual form, not just an art form, but an actual visible form.
Tangible,
wow.
real forms, not just an image of spiritual dimension, but an actual tangible image. So we have knowledge of those that were, and by the way, are again. But also, since that time, we found that what's happened now is there's a third incursion that's begun to happen since about 1949, one of the first Nephilim mothers began to, by bloodline, be identified by the powers of darkness to begin to take advantage of the iniquitous bloodline and the royalty of the bloodline that goes all the way back to biblical times, and began then to produce, in our time, another generation of Nephilim. And because of that, they began to become very sophisticated. In other words, if you had a giant Nephilim today, which they were back in the day, somewhere between 13, some say as much as 25 feet tall, that would be pretty obvious walking mm-hmm. down the street. And so the enemy knows that. And so what they've done is taken several thousand years now to work with DNA, structuring of the embryo and the whole genome theory type study, and began to actually produce in our day and time a Nephilim offspring that their whole goal is to make them so perfectly human that they can integrate into our society undetected. And so we have begun to see that there are, and are present in the earth today, Nephilim that look extremely human, act extremely human, that are of this third wave, this third generation offspring, that are amongst us today, operating in every seven mountains, and the higher the level, the better. So that's one form
and
of that.
How would I know the difference between a normal human being and a Nephilim? Like, let's say I went to, you know, a meeting at the school board or something, mm-hmm. and there happened to be a Nephilim there.
Okay.
How would I know? How would I recognize?
Interestingly enough, Nephilim, because they're of a demonic nature, they're birthed demonically, they have a real aversion to Christianity and to Christians and the glory of the presence of God, because that's the whole reason they're created, is to destroy that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you confront a Nephilim in the earth today, it doesn't take very much, and they begin to manifest anger, hatred, they despise you, they'll work against you. You'll begin to see a response by them physically, which is your first indicator. And then if you begin to press in, you're going to find out that they're basically, there's no light in their soul, and they are of a hybrid, and they cannot stand to the measure of a pure human being in the sense of the matrix of the soul and how they would function with emotions, with intellect, with putting the dots together. So they are detectable. But it takes the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It takes a born-again, spirit-filled presence person to detect them, like Paul did. If you remember in the book of Acts, Paul came into town, and here was this hybrid running around, an advanced hybrid, and she was saying, "These men have come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." She was actually preaching, and she was in society, and no one else knew who she was, but Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, "I know who you are." And he pointed her out. So that's the same way that we can discern.
So it's actually through discernment and through the observing of character.
Yes.
Randy, I remember years ago, I was working the inner city in Honolulu.
Okay.
And we would go out every night, preach the gospel, tell mm-hmm. people about the love of Jesus, mm. and had the privilege of leading many people to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I remember one particular night, we were walking the streets as normal, and I bent down to share the gospel with a street person. It was a gentleman on the street, and I knelt down, and I said to him, and his head was down, I said, "Jesus loves you."
Mm-hmm.
And he looked up, and he says, "Oh, really, how does he love me?"
Mm-hmm.
But when I looked into his eyes, I did not see a soul.
Yeah.
It was the most bizarre thing. I'll never forget it as long mm-hmm. as I live, and mm-hmm. it gave me chills, because mm-hmm. I thought, I'm looking at a demon with flesh on. There was nothing human inside of it. There was no human soul inside of mm-hmm. of that man.
Exactly.
Is that similar to what a Nephilim would be like?
Exactly right. Very much so. However, they are in the process right now with this third wave of bringing a dimension of spirit and soul, if you will, into the DNA. They're trying to become humanized because they're so detectable in that realm.
And with all the scientific manipulation of DNA, is that one of the agendas of the Nephilim?
Absolutely. Yeah, so much is going on with technology today, mm-hmm. and maybe we can unpack this fully as we go on, but transhumanism, eugenics, the GRIN technology, which is basically it's genetics and robotics, artificial intelligence, and nanotechnology. And so all those are being utilized to augment these Nephilim as they come forth, but also, here's a game changer, humans that are non-Nephilim, that are not demon-possessed. And so the enemy is building an incredible army that's coming forth. And so we have the Nephilim that are the offspring of the seed of the Watchers and the seed of woman. Then we have Nephilim that are being produced by basically body parts.
Wow.
That are being taken from the earth, animal and human body parts, and which would tie in maybe to another time we could talk about UFOs and abductions,
right.
and all of that. So we have laboratory-produced Nephilim right now.
Wow.
And
wow.
They come out as hubrids, which are the soulless without the matrix, or they come out hybrids that have a somewhat of a soul matrix but not fully, or they come out as rebreds, which is the reptilian race. Those ones that are not fully human, those are all underground. We're not seeing those right now.
Wow.
So there's an intense
Amazing.
Program going on right now of the enemy.
Randy, we are going to do another program on this because there's so much to discuss and to cover. But I do know that in your books you do a thorough unfolding of the information out of the scripture with a lot of scriptural basis,
yes,
and also with more prophetic insight of what the Lord has shown you, so people can get your books and your DVDs and
yes,
that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I want to say before we close today is that I have known you for a number of years. You are a solid believer. You are not a man who is flaky. You are a studier of the word. You have a stable walk in the Lord. Your character in Christ is impeccable. Mm. And so I just want our audience to know that because of who you are and how you walk with the Lord. And I want to say also to all of you that are watching, you know, the greatest covering for you in this day is the righteousness of Jesus Christ and your walk in righteousness. This is not a time to be living in mixture. It's not a time to say, well, I'll love a little bit of the kingdom and a little bit of the world. I'll love a little bit of the flesh and a little bit of the demonic stuff that's out there. No, we need to make a stand, even as Noah did in his day, where we say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow God. Whatever he says to do, I will do it, no matter what the cost. But I am going to live a life separated unto him. Jesus is separating his people unto himself for the greatest display of power and kingdom authority in this day. You are being called in such a time as this to give him the glory. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Hi there. We're continuing a prophetic exposition on a subject that is very controversial called the Nephilim. In fact, we are highlighting a book by Randy Demain called The Nephilim Resurgence. And Randy, it's wonderful to have you with us to share this subject. I know it's a very outrageous subject, really. It's not something that you hear about
right.
every day. And
right.
I know that we're called to preach the good news of the kingdom.
Yes.
So the good news of this kingdom that we serve is that all the powers of darkness are under our feet because Jesus won the victory 2,000 years ago.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
In your book, The Nephilim Resurgence, which is your second book on this subject, you
right.
have covered a lot of different topics concerning the Nephilim and have built really good support through the scripture to give support to the prophetic revelation
right.
that you've received from the Lord on this. And I have to say that I'm really glad that you're carrying this message and that God called you to carry it and not me. But God bless you, because I know
Thank
messages
you.
Like this can take a lot of ridicule,
yes.
Misunderstanding. But, you know, yes. sometimes the Lord gives warnings to his people and it's for our good. It's not for our harm or destruction.
Right.
It's for our good. And we're
yes.
not called to be demon-focused. We're called
right.
to be God-focused.
Absolutely.
But there's things that we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when God sent Joshua in to the promised land,
yes.
There had been a lot of spying out of the land so that they knew exactly what they were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God wants us to know what we're dealing with. It's not
Exactly.
like anything should hold us back,
right.
but he wants us to see what
mm-hmm.
we're facing. So thank you.
Thank
you so
indeed.
Much.
Yes.
But I wanted to just go through quickly with your viewers, just the different chapters in your book, because
okay.
we don't have time to cover all these, but they can
sure.
purchase the book, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The Nephilim Resurgence, The Rise of the Fourth Kingdom. So the first chapter is Daniel's revelation
mm-hmm.
of the Fourth Kingdom, out of the book of Daniel, of
yes.
course. Chapter 2 is The Resurgent of the Serpent Seed.
Mm-hmm.
And we did talk a little bit about this on our last set that we
yes.
did.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3 is The 13 Satanic Bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 4 is Illuminati in the Light.
Mm-hmm.
We might cover that a little
okay.
bit today. The New World Order is another one. The spin on UFOs and aliens.
Yes.
Now that is a very intriguing
mm-hmm.
subject. And what is it? Homo Noeticus?
Very
Did
good.
I say
Homo
it right?
Noeticus, yes.
The New Human Species.
Mm-hmm.
Mystery Babylon, The Preparation for Manifestation, and The Kingdom of Heaven.
Yes.
Because that's what we're going to see fully established.
Yes.
We're on the winning team.
Yes.
We're going to see the glory of God like no other generation has seen it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So, but anyways, let's talk a little bit more
mm-hmm.
about the agenda of the Nephilim.
Okay.
And maybe you want to bring in the Illuminati, the New World Order, just, sure. you know, as we're sharing right now, whatever mm-hmm. you feel mm-hmm. that you want to highlight.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you see from the chapter outline, what I'm attempting to do is to really bring an awareness to the body of Christ that there is a fourth kingdom coming. And in fact, it will be established for a short period of time, 3.5 years. There will be a ruling fourth kingdom of the enemy, of Satan himself, will actually bring forth that kingdom. Only to find out that God's, as we know, going to come and trump mm-hmm. it and destroy it. The rock cut without hands will
right.
take it out.
Now,
so,
we know through the book of Daniel that that is so.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
What are believers going to be doing during that time? We're not going to be defeated.
Absolutely not. And that's the most exciting thing. Even though this is a darker kind of a look at the prophetic word, indeed we can't turn our head from it because the entire book of Revelation is basically dealing with this whole subject of the rise of the fourth kingdom and its overthrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so during this time, we know that as of this taping with you and I together, that this fourth kingdom isn't something that is coming. It is here,
mm-hmm.
and it's not even in the beginning stages. It's well developed, and so we can see that all around us by the workings of many things in our society that are actually working together with a satanic or what we call a Luciferian mm-hmm. agenda through the New World Order, through the Illuminati who are structuring the New World Order, all working in league with the Antichrist spirit to bring about a kingdom of darkness that has the intent of overthrowing the kingdom of God and destroying, if you will, all things made in God's image. And so this book really, from beginning to end, is showing that big picture so that we're not unaware of the schemes of the evil one, not to be afraid, but to have faith and to have understanding of what mm-hmm. is coming so that when we see these things come, when they confront us, when we are dealing with them, we're not unwise, we're not mm-hmm. unlearned. We know how to very strategically deal with them. We know how to handle what's coming. We know what to spend our time with. We know things mm-hmm. that are going to happen that there's nothing we can do about. So let's focus our time on the things we can do something
right.
about, the harvest of souls, the redemption of man,
Amen.
Those sorts of things.
And we're not of that darkness. We're of the light. We'll always be of the light.
Yes, exactly.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, talk about the Illuminati a little bit, because
right.
I know a lot of our viewers won't even know what the Illuminati is. Many have not even heard about it. What is it?
The Illuminati for years was like this esoteric group of people that may or may not have existed. But indeed, they have existed. They named themselves. They began actually in Spain in 1530, and they began to assemble together, and their agenda was to control the world, to take control of the entire world. They based themselves on the Illuminati being the Illumined Ones, which would be like on the back of your dollar bill, that third eye, the satanic
mm-hmm.
eye. And so,
is that a sign of the Illuminati?
It is. Yeah, a whole dollar bill basically is the gospel of the Illuminati. If you, mm-hmm. if we were to take the time to go through it, it's very interesting. But anyway, 2012 is significant too. If you look on the back, because of the layers of the pyramid with the third layer, 13th layer. Anyway, not to digress, but to simply say that they have had an agenda since at least 1530, and actually prior to that. But they named themselves. Actually, the Illuminati, beginning in 1530, they disassembled for a while because one man was struck by lightning, and they discovered on his person the agenda, the notes, the strategy of the Illumined Ones, and so to take over the world. So they disbanded, but they reformed again through Mayor Rothschild late 1700s, 1774, somewhere around in there, I believe. And began to be formed again with the same agenda in the UK, which then, as we know, came through Ben Franklin, through the early times into the US through, believe it or not, Freemasonry. So mm-hmm. Freemasonry, the Illuminati, the Brotherhood, the White Brotherhood.
Is it kind of all one thing?
It's really almost synonymous now.
Right.
However, the Illuminati are distinct in the sense that they are the ascended or the Illumined Ones.
Right.
They've
gone through all the layers and levels.
Right.
Because people that join Freemasonic mm-hmm. cults, they, for the most part, don't even know what it's about, do they? They get invited by other business people mm-hmm. to come, and then mm-hmm. they go through all the rituals. And mm-hmm. I've read through some of the vows and the rituals. And
right.
it's like a satanic It's a satanic coven, really.
It is.
I mean, when you read the actual words and the curses that they speak over their families and stuff like that, but they don't know they're doing it. They just think they're going through, you know, going through whatever at first, don't they?
The entry levels are very benign. In fact, they seem like good works. They seem like a help to the humanity, mm-hmm. and indeed, to a degree, they are. Mm-hmm. And so the lower level initiates really don't have a clue what's going on in the higher levels. It's more like a front of the organization that they can present it to the community, not knowing what's going on behind the curtain. So many are involved, really, without an understanding.
And even in the higher levels, because they're getting deceived on every level, so that their minds are dull to what's exactly happening in many cases.
You come under the spirit mm-hmm. of that, and so there is that deception, and that's exactly right. And I've learned by studying the Illuminati that there's the high level, the Illumined Ones, the Brotherhood, and then under that would be, I would call them the middle management or the higher level Freemasonries, the 30 to 33 degrees, and then mm-hmm. below that are like the worker bees that are doing all the functions that allow the portal openings, the sacrifices, the meetings that secure the realms of darkness and stir them up, all those other things that are going on underneath. So there's, you know, really kind of like three layers, if you will, that are functioning, not maybe realizing the highest level is to bring forth this fourth kingdom that Daniel prophesies in Daniel 2 and 7.
Now, are these actual men in that high level, or are these the Nephilim?
No, these Illumined Ones have crossed. They're not human, and in fact, their Grand Master is Satan himself. That's the White Brotherhood, the Extended Ones, and so that's how that works. So they're not human.
And so then they infiltrate different sectors of like government, world government, and things like that, and influence. Is that how it works? Do you
right.
have any insight on that?
Sure. What they've done is they have very meticulously and brilliantly, actually, they have developed through every governmental system in the world, every nation in the world, they've set up layers of organizations. We call them the alphabetical organizations, who they have indeed set up through various governmental or banking institutions and or industrial businesses. They have infiltrated all of society to put together layers of control, for resources of the world, for finances, for all the things that bring basic humanity into some level of servitude for them. And through those, they extract our time, our energy, our money, all using our stuff to build this kingdom. So this New World Order is coming. We know it is coming. And we know we can't stop it from coming, but we can extract people out of it and get them, you know, into the kingdom of God, and,
right.
and to some degree lessen its effect. And so,
right. and no know. Human being in their own strength, no matter how educated they are, no matter how seasoned they are in their business realms, would be able to stop it. Only the power of Christ would have power over this.
Yes.
And so, in the end times, we are definitely going to see the clash between the two powers, because there's a lot that man can do in his own power. Like, man can accomplish a lot just with his own brilliance, his own intellect that
yes.
God created in
yes.
him, right?
Yes.
But when you're dealing with these kind of things that shift people's mindsets, that shift the earth and that's demonic. And the mm-hmm. only thing that can conquer that mm-hmm. is the power of Christ.
Yes, yes, exactly right. Amen to that. And you know, we've talked about in previous times, we've talked about the emphasis now in our time of the seven spirits of God. And actually from Psalms 111, being 2011, the beginning of the impartation of the Spirit of wisdom. And so we find in 1 Corinthians, the first few chapters, that God is letting the wisdom of this world come to its end. So the wisdom of man can only go so far to deal with what is coming. And then there has to be a greater wisdom. And so as believers, as born-again believers, we carry not the wisdom of this world, which is first demonic and
right.
so forth and so on, but we have the wisdom of God, which is pure, peaceable, and so
right.
forth and so on. So we are going to, God's going to use His Spirit in yeah. us to trump out and expose the spirit of this world.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, in Ephesians 6, Paul wrote very clearly about a hierarchy of demonic power.
Yes.
That we are to be armored.
Yes.
You know, as we face these things, but also that we have power over those different layers. So in this end times, mm-hmm. when we see the demonic hierarchy starting to reveal itself and stuff, mm-hmm. at the same time, God is building his people with a revelation of their authority in him to rule, to reign, to conquer, and to put these things under our feet.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And I was reminded this morning, Randy, about how when God sent Joshua in to take the land that was filled with, I mean, there was giants in the land. There was problems in the land.
Yes.
He says, I'm sending you in, and every place where the sole of your foot treads, I'm giving that to you. When you study that out, it actually means wherever you draw your weapons for battle, I'm going to give you the victory.
Awesome.
And I mean, he was going into strongholds because that was their land. It was promised them by God, but it was filled with opposition.
Yes.
But they were to go in and take it. And God says, everywhere where you draw your weapons for battle, I'm giving it to you. Wherever the soles of your feet tread, it's yours.
Yeah.
So the devil is under our feet.
Yes.
Nephilim or whatever their agenda is, mm-hmm. it's not above us. It's actually below us in Christ because we're seated in heavenly places in Christ
Amen.
Jesus, far above all power, principality, you know, any name that is named. We are above all of that.
Yes.
And so Jesus said that I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you.
Right.
So that is what I'm excited about in this day. No matter what the devil's agenda is,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the Nephilim agenda is,
we
are going to see a display of the power and glory of God more than the church has ever seen before as we separate ourselves unto him.
Absolutely agree.
Well,
Absolutely.
When we come back, I want to hear what you have to say about UFOs and aliens.
Okay, cool.
Charge into the powerful battle between darkness and light with Randy DeMaine's book, Nephilim Resurgence, The Rise of the Fourth Kingdom. Get the truth behind current events and equip yourself in the spirit to fight this ancient evil and rise into greater glory. Call 866-980-5464 and order television offer number 184 or visit xpministries.com to purchase Nephilim Resurgence today. For a limited time, only $12. Order now.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
Order the Nephilim Agenda by Randy DeMaine. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. The Nephilim are coming again, positioning themselves to rule the world in degrees of wickedness such as man has never known. Are you ready? Get informed. Call 866-980-5464 and order television offer 111 or go online at xpministries.com and purchase the Nephilim Agenda for just $10. Order now.
Have you ever heard about UFOs, unidentified flying objects, and have you ever wondered if they're for real or not? And what about aliens? Maybe you've even watched movies where there's aliens from outer space. You know, have you wondered if that's for real or not? What do you say, Randy? What is this about UFOs and aliens?
Well, interestingly enough, they're very real, and they're not just something new. They have existed since Bible times and early recordings. And again, if you go back to the hieroglyphs and the carvings, the pictures on the walls, we find that they were in existence for a long, long time. Recently, though, we have been able, through modern technology and through the report gathering of many people that have seen or engaged them, and through our own military and the militaries of this world, we now have sufficient evidence to document the fact that they are not a fairy tale, they're not make-believe. They are indeed real, tangible craft, and what they're doing is very, very purposeful. And so we know on this day and this hour that the UFOs are indeed very real, that they have a very defined purpose and agenda being used by the enemy, again, to bring deception and control of mankind. So they're here, they're real. Even here in the Phoenix area in 1997, they had an event called the Phoenix Lights, very dramatically filmed by a number of people, very clearly filmed. And there's over 100 UFO sightings per day now, filmed and so forth and so on. So the evidence is overwhelming now. It wasn't just an obscure event back in Aurora, Texas in 1897 or the Roswell event. It wasn't just an obscure, isolated event. Now they're very much engaged on a very regular, daily basis with society across the world.
So there's an acceleration of the appearance of these right now?
There actually is. And I think for a couple of reasons. It's not that they haven't been here, but the agenda now is accelerating. And we can even see it through Hollywood, through the conditioning of, preparing us to accept alien creatures as benign, as friendly, as those who have come to help to save our planet. And so because of that, there is an increase. But the time is running short, and so the enemy is, running out of time to accomplish his purpose of deception of mankind. So we are seeing an increase
of that activity. Now, last night over dinner, you were sharing a prophetic insight that you had regarding, kind of the message that the aliens might give to the earth as something that would take people's focus away from Jesus.
Absolutely. It's called the Luciferic Agenda or Great Deception. And many excellent authors and speakers are actually now addressing this and bringing it forth, and I agree with it. And this is the agenda. If you would go back in time and look at all the ancient carvings and drawings, listen to the Native Americans in many societies around the world, they all record incidences of some type of a flying device. And out of that device comes a godlike creature who has superhuman abilities, intelligence, and so forth and so on. It's recorded from the beginning of time, from Samaria, ancient Samaria, all the way through to the present time. Now, what I believe is a very likely scenario would be this. In our day and our time, it would be very conceivable to see if there was a national, international, worldwide chaos of some sort, where man, through nuclear exchange or some other type of destructive act, would begin to destroy the world and society, that they would show up, and like with UFOs all over the world. And this would be their message. Here we are. We are really your creators. We have made you. And here's the proof. Look back at all the ancient writings through society and time. Did we not send you spiritual leaders like Buddha and Confucius and Jesus and others, Gandhi, to try to enlighten you? Have we not brought you, spiritual enlightenment? We want you to know that now we're going to come and save you from destroying yourself. And so we want to introduce you to the Creator who made you, who, of course, is the Luciferian agenda, which would bring forth then the stage for the Antichrist, the false prophet, and ultimately Satan. So the deception that's being propagated is huge. That's one aspect. The other aspect, obviously, is right now the abduction, which is taking body parts and so forth to produce this race that we've talked about, these hybrids that are being made not of human and angelic, but of mixed body parts in a laboratory, where they're producing this huge army of these Nephilim that are an offspring for the service of Satan in the end times.
And they're just taking human body parts and then connecting them spiritually to other body parts?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is like something out of a movie.
Well, it's incredible, and particularly we mentioned a little bit about the GRIN technology, and so some of the nanotechnology is actually you can inject a mechanical system into your body that's loaded with certain types of DNA that would cause your body to be enhanced, augmented in a number of ways, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, but also in the area that it could augment you, that it takes like an MRI or a picture of what it was exposed to, and it's able to bring that into your body so you become like a superhuman, ageless person. And part of that injection now is actually on a molecular level to where if your cell would break down, it would reproduce that cell. So it's like just an incredible technology that's out there
right now. Wow,
sure.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's really interesting because there's such an emphasis on agelessness in today's society with all kinds of injections and mm-hmm. and augmentations that mm-hmm. you can have to. Mm-hmm. So it's like just on every level, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Now, Jesus warned us. He said that, you know, if someone comes and says, here is the Christ or there is the Christ, do not believe, because this is the way it's going to be. So the Bible tells us exactly how the end is going to come.
Exactly.
And not to believe any other voice. That it is, yeah, like he made it really clear.
Yeah.
So this is a message we have to get out in this hour, is that Jesus only, there's only one name under heaven by which man can be saved. It's not by an alien or something coming from outer spaces, by Jesus alone. We can't make up our own rules.
That's so true. And Jesus is returning in a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a UFO, it is a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many that are going to come in these UFOs and want allegiance, want worship, and so forth and so on. They are already coming. And so we need to be very aware of the agenda, very aware that Beelzebub is called the Lord of the Flies, or those who fly, or those who flit. He's the,
wow,
prince of the power of the air. We do know that those that are operating these UFOs, they are hybrids. They are Nephilim. They are fallen watchers. They are not aliens from another planet. They are those that fell from heaven or produced in the earth. And so it's a whole guise of deception.
We only have about a minute left in this segment, but I would like you to just share a little bit, like, how are they actually all going to come down at the end? How do you see? I mean, obviously we win. Do you have any insight on what that looks like?
A bit, because we know that they are going to totally manifest. Actually, I believe there's going to be levels of manifestation, probably three wars that we'll see, maybe one prior to the tribulation, and then those during that will set up the Antichrist kingdom. But it looks like they're going to be nuclear exchange and supernatural exchanges, like the Star Wars type technology that will come from the heavens. But then in the earth will come these hybrids. And it says in the book of Revelation, who can make war against the beast? They are undefeatable. They're like, what are we going to do? Well, we know that we can make,
yeah,
war and overcome.
We serve a lion.
We do.
He's greater than any beast.
Yes. Yeah.
These are exciting times that we are living in, a time when we will see Jesus Christ, the victor of all, made manifest through his people. The one thing you want to make sure, though, is that you're serving the right team, that you're on God's side. I wouldn't want to be any other place in this hour or any other hour than to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you don't know him as your Savior yet, just cry out to him, say, Lord, forgive me my sin. Come into my life and be my God, be my Savior. You know, if you prayed that right now, he would come in and you would be his. You'd be part of the winning team. Remember this, he loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. Hi there. This is the third segment regarding the Nephilim resurgence. And today we're going to be discussing a topic that is maybe way out there for you. So fasten your seatbelts and get ready for some way out stuff, because we're going to talk about, where do these Nephilim come from in this day? How are they born and who gives birth to them? So Randy Demain, you are amazing with this message that you are carrying, but it's not just a message for you. You have actually not only researched, but God has given you divine appointments with mm-hmm. very, very real significant situations. And the one thing that we want to talk about today is Nephilim mothers,
mm-hmm.
because there are women in the earth today who are mm-hmm. actually giving birth to the Nephilim today.
Right.
And so I want you to just break open that subject for us. And
sure.
Can you share a little bit about this subject?
Sure. The Bible does clearly say in Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So we do know that what happened in the days of Noah, where the fallen watchers, the B'nai Elohim, came and took wives as they chose and produced an offspring of giants, i.e. the Nephilim. And so we know that what happened in the days of Noah, that Jesus himself said would happen again.
So it was demons having sex with human women, And they were creating offspring called the Nephilim.
So that is where we get the name Nephilim, the Nephal, the fallen ones, out of Genesis 6, 1 through 4, and then also Numbers 13, the second incursion. What we see happening now in our time is what we call the third incursion. And it is a very intensely, very, very quick-moving agenda by the evil one to establish an army to overcome, to try to attempt to overthrow the kingdom of God in the last days with the fourth kingdom. So having said that, we have become aware of this operation of this program. And it really began again, this third incursion really strongly began again in about 1949, where a Nephilim mother was again identified through a certain bloodline, which is always by a bloodline that they choose, of royal bloodline that dates back to some biblical
character. Okay, so you mean the demons choose
right.
a woman yeah. with a royal bloodline?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The watchers, actually, the fallen watchers.
The fallen watchers, mm-hmm. okay,
they choose
a woman with right. a royal bloodline.
Right, exactly like they did in the days of Noah. And so they'll look at a certain bloodline that they want to propagate through, because this bloodline has an iniquitous ability, if you will, to birth what they want to bring into the earth. And so by iniquity, I bent towards something, murder, lying, greed, whatever. And
right.
so they choose a certain bloodline that can propagate what they want to bring in.
Because the Bible says the iniquities of the fathers are visited mm-hmm. upon the children to the third and fourth generation. So what you're saying
yeah.
is that these fallen watchers are looking for mm-hmm. an individual whose bloodline is really corrupt and was used in high power corruption.
Yes, and so they took, in Genesis 6, women as they chose. And so we see that happening again in 1949. So about the last 60 years, there actually has been this hybridization program, fallen watchers mating with women to a certain degree to produce this hybrid offspring, which we call the Nephilim. And so that has been happening for about the last 60 years.
So the women that the watchers are having sex with are mm-hmm. real human beings, but their offspring are not.
Exactly. Good point. They're 100% human women. They're generally chosen either in the womb or right at birth. And so the program is initiated with these ladies, and they're groomed from birth forward, even before birth actually, to be a mother for these Nephilim offspring, to have sex with a principality, i.e. a fallen watcher, to bring forth this being, which is half human, half divine, if you will, or half terrestrial flesh, into the earth for the purpose of joining themselves to the program of the Antichrist for the last days.
And so would this be done through, like, satanic covens, or is it a direct spiritual encounter, or how would a woman know if this was happening to her?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been a lot of women who have been in satanic ritual abuse, we call it the SRA, who have been, they call the mother or the wife of Satan. But those children are brought forth not to live, but they are brought forth for sacrifice, mm-hmm. human sacrifice. We know that that blood sacrifice empowers the kingdom of darkness. And so the more blood sacrifice, the more the portals open, just like in Hitler's day, with the sacrifice of all the Jews, they were able to reopen that portal on Mount Hermon, which became that 1948-1949 Nephilim mother breeding program again. So blood sacrifice is a big deal. So I want to differentiate between the satanic ritual abuse, which is primarily to bring forth offspring for sacrifice, mm-hmm. unidentified sacrifices. However, they can, you know, become a mother, but that's not the case. The Nephilim mothers are not chosen randomly. They are chosen exactly by bloodline to bring forth a certain aspect of their spirit and their soul that the Nephilim can, the fallen watchers can project themselves through and build an offspring that will bring that iniquity to a heightened level into the world. So we find that happening. Now, what's disturbing is that not only has that program been going on since 1960, where we had the direct mating of the fallen watchers with the Nephilim mothers, there's also been the propagation of Nephilim, which are made basically technically or scientifically, or technology has made a way for them to be produced out of various body parts, which, you know, we hear of abductions, UFO abductions, we hear of missing children, we hear of so many ways in society that there are people taken or animals taken. Well, those are basically the components that another generation of Nephilim are coming into the earth. And they're, so they're non-human, totally non-human. So we have a couple of them that are being propagated today and coming into the earth.
Wow. Now, when we used to do a lot of deliverance ministry years ago, we would have women and men, actually, but I remember mainly women, would complain of being visited at night by a demonic spirit that would have sex with them. And they actually felt it. It was like a real thing. It wasn't just in their imagination. It was like a real presence. It was a spiritual presence, but it was real. And so we have, you know, the succubus and incubus spirits that have been known to do that. Now, is that something like what we're talking about? And would the women who are being used to mother the Nephilim, do they know that that is what's happening? Do they know that there's a Nephilim growing in their womb? Do they understand this?
They do, because they are, like from birth, they are prepared, conditioned, and made for this. And so generally by age 13, they have their first offspring, a son. And they are to call them, interestingly enough, the son is to be called Nimrod Apollo Alexander, which is a very interesting name. But this is the war part. Then it's, at their maturity, then they come back and marry their mother and impregnate their mother and with an offspring. So there's a continuation of that. But they know, they definitely know what seed they're carrying. The, the pregnancy is three and a half months. The child is removed at that time and raised demonically apart from the mother. So they know they give birth.
Do you think a lot of the abortions today, because that's like abortions are usually done before the third month or so, does that have anything to do with this?
I'm afraid so. It's more information than we probably want, but there is an exploitation of those events, absolutely, that's occurring.
Okay, here's a big question for you, Randy. How did you come to know this? I mean, this isn't anything that you would probably read in the Bible or on the headlines of the morning newspaper. How is it that you came to understand how these mothers are chosen and how they're bred and...
It came about back in the days when I was pastoring, and our first 5 years of pastoring, we did deliverance ministry. That was what we, you know, broke in on, I guess. And so we began to come across individuals that you could cast the demons out of them, but we found out that there were more levels of bondage to them. And subsequently through the years, then we began to understand that these levels were actually demonic program. They're sub molecular levels. The Bible says that the kingdom of God's within us. Well, so the Antichrist spirit will build a kingdom in them, multiple layers. So they become multi-personality, DID, if you will. And so they have multiple layers of identity, persons, functions in them that are triggered by nursery rhymes or numbers or frequencies or like the Walt Disney is a very popular, all the fairy tales and so forth, that's a very popular programming method. And so we found that these ladies would have these multiple levels in them, and they'd begin to tell us that our seed has been stolen or we've given birth and this child was taken. And we didn't know what to do with that for the longest time. Until now, you know, these last few years, we've actually come in contact now with survivors that have come out of the royal bloodlines or these chosen lines, and we have begun to say, listen, I've given birth. And so there's a deliverance on many, many levels that they're receiving and they're getting free. But the stories they're telling us about the impregnation process, about the trauma that's involved, about the disassociation of that event, so they have no memory of it, but yet they can have the memory recalled, so they know exactly what they did. So they have these handlers, these demonic handlers that handle them. They are bonded with the principality who impregnates them from the very beginning. And so they have this really twisted relationship all through their life, and all of a sudden they begin to become unprogrammed and they know something's up. And you find them in churches, you coming to churches, or they'll, you know, come to psychiatrists or whoever, and they all of a sudden they realize there's something about them that needs fixed, and from that you can begin to unravel and find out that indeed that they are a Nephilim mother and that they have been used by the enemy and a chosen bloodline of the royal bloodlines to give birth to a Nephilim. And so they're dealing with all that, but they want free.
Now, as we were chatting last night, you mentioned that at first you were wondering yourself, but then you've actually interviewed 8 different Nephilim mothers who are not connected to each other that shared the same story, the same things.
Right. Yeah, I guess the biggest thing that I always hear as we've written the Nephilim Agenda and now this next book that will be coming out soon is that where's the proof? You tell us all these things. Where is the proof? Well, we have proof. We have real live human beings that can give identical testimonies that do not know each other of how they were brought up, how they have been, you know, inducted, the process that the dark side has brought them through, how they have been controlled by Illuminati handlers to bring forth a certain aspect of the kingdom, how they've been transported here and there, Mount Hermon, Jerusalem, all over in these incredible acts of spiritual deeds of darkness, the rituals they've been through, the offspring, and so forth. They're all the same. They're consistent from the beginning to end. They have a level of consistency. So no one can make up those kind of stories because they are incredibly difficult to listen to. And look at the person who's telling what they've been through, but then the level of human degradation and exploitation is just incredible. And you can't make that up. You can't make that up. And then you can find that as you begin on a level of deliverance to them and you begin to go down to the various levels, that they've all been very interestingly programmed for the same agenda, which is to bring forth an end-time army under the guise of these superhumans for the use of Satan to overthrow the kingdom of God.
Well, after the break, we're going to find out if these mothers can be saved.
Order the Nephilim Agenda today by Randy DeMaine. Genesis 6 speaks of the Nephilim before the flood. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man." Will the Nephilim return? Get informed. Order the Nephilim Agenda book at xpministries.com.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience Him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
So, Randy, this is disturbing to think that any life could be used in that way. And I mean, my heart goes out to the women who have been traumatized. Right. And I can't even imagine what that would be like. Mm-hmm. But how glorious it must be for them when they come free. And so that's the question that I know a lot of people would be asking, is that if a woman, a human woman, has been used in that way, and partnered with the enemy in that way, whether she knew it or not, or whether she agreed with it or not, is there any possibility that she can be saved?
Well, that is the good news of the gospel, and I can't think of a more fitting way to bring, you know, this information forward, and the fact that yes, they can be saved. Any fully human can be born again. It's just like a Satanist who can go into the depths of Satan worship. Or a voodoo priest or whatever, there is hope. They can be born again by the power of the gospel. As long as they're fully human, they're made in the image of God. The Lord Jesus died for them. He died for their salvation, so they can be saved. And when these women are coming out of this, they feel so defiled. They feel so dirty. They feel whatever used, that how could God redeem them? But yet it's God that pulls them out and brings redemption to them, and not just simply redemption, but healing to every aspect of their soul that's been defiled.
Wonderful.
They're totally redeemable, and that's a real message that I want to go out, because not only are there Nephilim mothers, but there's these others that are coming now, the super soldiers,
just a minute. What's a super soldier?
Oh, okay. Well, they're in all of this movement of Satan's army that he's building. He's also doing non-Nephilim type army that he's building, and they're called the super soldiers. They are those called the MK Ultras, which are the Monarch Kids, the Star Children. There are the MyLabs. There's a whole foray, if you will, of beings that are being augmented or in some way enhanced.
Are these human bodies or are these demonic spirits?
No, these are fully human.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And it really came out of the Third Reich in Germany, where Joseph Mengele began to do trauma-based mind control. And so we have today multitudes.
They're possessed by the devil.
Well, they are possessed, but also they're trauma-based mind control. So they're being used and exploited by the devil, but they're fully human. And so they have the capacity to have multi-personalities, multi-disciplines. They can be an assassin on one level and a Sunday school teacher on another. They can do multiple things, and they can contain all these personalities. But they're a plant for the enemy to do his bidding, but also to be ears and eyes on the ground and to bring, you know, various doctrines and so forth. But the good news is all of these that are waking up right now, their programs coming unwound out of them for these super soldiers that have been, you know, in the military and they've been exploited. For those kids that have been raised, the monarch
kids. You
mean
the demonic military?
No, I mean just the militaries of the world, military service in whatever disciplines, they're there. And Russ Dizdar wrote an interesting book called The Black Awakening. And it's a very interesting book. And so I'll just give reference to that, because that's probably the most complete understanding of those that are human that have been exploited for the enemy's use in many aspects.
Black meaning darkness.
And yeah, the old black flame from the Third Reich.
Wow.
So The Black Awakening is he defines how there's a mass of humanity that are right now living under trauma-based mind control. They have handlers. Mm-hmm. They're prepared for the last day, that in a moment's time, they can bring worldwide chaos in a moment's time when they're unleashed on society. They're all ready to go. They're programmed. They're all ready. The good news is that when they awaken to the fact that there's something wrong and they begin to seek deliverance or help, that not only for the Nephilim mothers, but for these, there is salvation in the name of Jesus.
Now, you have worked deliverance with a number of these Nephilim mothers.
Right.
You've seen them come through.
Right.
Are they traumatized by the demonic watchers that, or the fallen watchers that took them to begin with? Or does the Lord give an extra measure of protection and fortitude? Like, you know, I'm just curious.
Yeah. They all tell me that they never lose sense of humanity at some level, even if it's a tiny, tiny bit. There's always something there that they can function in some level of humanity. And because of that, that draws them. So God somehow keeps them. It's like a born-again spirit. Even though you can face all kinds of darkness, you know that your spirit man can be kept. Because God created the spirit. And so the devil can steal, capture, he can somehow stain it, but he can never take it. All he can do is counterfeit. So that part of humanity is there to be redeemed in any human being.
Now, I remember ministering to a gal a while back who was being delivered out of Satanism, really high-level Satanism that she'd been involved in. She said after she became a Christian, after she got delivered, the enemy would torment her and even send out different people to try to kill her and stuff like that. So she was always on the alert, but she always overcame.
Yeah.
Is that the same with these ones, or is there a protective shield around them after they get delivered where they are untouched by the enemy? Is the enemy afraid of them after they're born again? Have you got any insight on that?
Yeah, I do. Number one, they do become a target because they obviously carry information that could take down an aspect of the kingdom. And so they are a target. So they have to be hedged in with a prayer like Hosea did over his bride, you know, that wall of fire, that thorny wall, the protection there, the covering mm-hmm. of the blood, the cloaking, if you will, the covering of the Holy Spirit. So there has to be a, you know, that protection there. But they're mm-hmm. not unwise, because they came out of high-level spiritual power, so they know that there are, you know, the powers of darkness have incredible powers that
right.
that they exercise. So there is a sovereign protection by mm-hmm. the Lord. There is an angelic protection that comes. There right. is multiple layers, and so they do survive.
And when you've known that level of darkness, then when the light gets revealed to you, it's high-level light, isn't it?
Well, it is, because if you listen to the testimony of them and of Satanists and witches who know the great power of darkness, but when they step into the mm-hmm. light, they find out that the light is greater than darkness, and so they found a power that's greater than anything they've operated in, and so they're sold. I mean, they're 100%, you know, for the kingdom of light, because the power of darkness cannot uh-huh. touch it. And so there's such a significant power level between darkness and light that the Lord, our God, our Savior has, that, you know, it says in John 1 that the light came and the darkness could not comprehend it. That means mm-hmm. it just could figure out no way to overcome it. So the light yeah. is the answer.
Is it possible that some of these who have been delivered might be the very ones that God will use to expose and to take out this whole agenda?
Well, that's the exciting part to me. You know, it says that out of the mouth of infants, God has ordained praise. And so you see a lot of these that are Nephilim mothers or others that have come, they from childhood, they didn't have a choice. They were mm-hmm. chosen. So out of those mouths, you know, there's going to become praise. But more than that, this is the exciting part. If you think, there's a number of biblical references we could go to, but 2 Samuel 5, when David is going in to take over Jebus, right? Mm-hmm. Jebus was the holy city to be Jerusalem, right? And so when he comes after these three anointings, which I believe is body, soul, and spirit, mm-hmm. the empowering, the cleansing, the sanctification, the setting apart, he comes to Jebus to overtake it. And what does he find? Here's the holy city, desecrated, filled with demonics. It was the Valley of Rephaim. Every departed spirit, every evil thing was going on there. And it was to be the habitation of God. So David comes in the name of the Lord. And what does he do? He evicts all the demonic mm-hmm. intruders. He cleanses the city, and it becomes the holy city of God.
Wow.
That, I believe, is the answer for all these people that have been defiled by darkness, that they are going to become a holy city of God, and that God's going to use them to rise up and triumph over all the powers of God.
That is awesome. And
Amen.
That sounds like God.
That is God.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, Randy, we know we have a warning from the Lord all throughout yeah. the Bible. He gives us warnings not to make us afraid,
right?
But to make us victors.
Yes.
In the battle.
Yes.
We are victors. We're not victims, and we should never be afraid. And it wouldn't matter if the whole earth was filled with you know, replications of the devil himself. You know, with his most strongest might that he has, it's still nothing. In
right.
fact. We're told through the prophet Isaiah that in the end times, when everything is seen for what it is, that we're going to look narrowly upon the enemy and say, what?
Yeah.
Is this the one
right.
that deceived the nations? Because he's so small
right.
in the light of the greatness of God. And that's what we want you to know above all else, is that there is a clash of kingdoms. There's a clash between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And we get to see the victory of the Lord. We get to be a part of that. We get to uphold his name. You remember that, and remember this too. He loves you with an everlasting love. He really does.